Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, I want to speak about the very dangerous situation developing in the Middle East, where Jew-hating Secretary of State John Kerry, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may his name and memory be obliterated. May the memory of the wicked rot. This evil, Jew-hating Secretary of State is obsessively, relentlessly pressuring Israel to commit national suicide. John Kerry's plan for the Middle East is for Israel to go back to the pre-1967 borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide. That is absolute national suicide for Israel. The creation of a so-called Palestine state in Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, and Gaza would be national suicide for Israel. And John Kerry is obsessively, relentlessly pressuring the very weak and cowardly Netanyahu government in Israel to accept his plan for Israel to do this insane act. And so I'm very concerned. I think there is a real danger that the Netanyahu government will eventually agree to this. They set a deadline for late April to create a framework in which the Israeli government would agree to a framework for the negotiations. And part of the framework would be that Israel, in principle, would agree to go back to the pre-1967 borders, God forbid. That would be extremely dangerous. When Israel agrees to a so-called framework, that is a very dangerous step. It's something that's happened before in Israeli history. In September 1978, Menachem Begin agreed to a framework for a retreat from the entire Sinai. And 6 months later, he signed a treaty with Muslim Nazi Egypt, surrendering the entire Sinai. And I could give you other examples where frameworks usually lead to a final agreement. So this would be extremely dangerous. And it's something that would be a catastrophe for Israel. Now, what Netanyahu would probably do would be he would say, we want to keep 3% or 4% of Judea and Samaria where two-thirds of the Jewish settlers live. Because the big Jewish settlements are right on Israel's border, so we only have to keep 3 or 4% of Judea and Samaria. And that means we keep two-thirds of the settlers. And another 100,000 or so settlers who live in the other 97% of Judea and Samaria, we will expel by force. God forbid, that is the framework. That is what they would agree to. And in exchange for Israel keeping 3 or 4% of Judea and Samaria, Israel would even give up parts of pre-1967 Israel. So that in the end, Israel will be 6 to 9 miles wide. It would be such insanity. So indefensible, so crazy. Golda Meir once said that any Jew who would agree to such a plan would have to be a traitor. Abba Ibn, the extreme left wing, late foreign minister of Israel, and he was on the extreme left. He was even too left-wing for the Socialist Labor Party. Abba Ibn once said that the pre-1967 borders are Auschwitz lines, suicide lines, Holocaust lines. And this is what they're negotiating about. This is what they're negotiating about, and these are serious talks. So this is a very serious danger. The United States, under the Jew haters Barack Hussein Obama and John Kerry, Yimach Shmam V'Zichram, are going to be presenting in a couple of weeks a U.S. plan, a U.S. framework for the negotiations. And there'll be tremendous pressure on Israel to accept that framework. And Netanyahu almost always gives in to pressure. This will be extremely dangerous. This is a very dangerous time for Israel. Netanyahu does not hold up well under pressure. He's a coward. He's an unbelievably weak leader without any spine. And he almost always gives in to pressure. Not pressure from the Jewish people, not pressure from good Jews. Though then he suddenly develops a spine. But when it comes to pressure from anti-Semites like Barack Hussein Obama or John Kerry or the European Union or the UN, Pipi Netanyahu usually gives in. And we've seen already him giving in already on the ground. He's already giving in when it comes to freezing Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. For years now, the Israeli government has had a policy of freezing Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Gaza, and even tearing down Jewish outposts in the hilltop communities, destroying Jewish communities and expelling hundreds of Jews from their homes. Bibi Netanyahu, since he's become prime minister in 2009, has thrown hundreds of Jews out of their homes in Judea and Samaria. Meanwhile, the Arab Muslim Nazis are building frantically all over. All over the place they're building. Illegally, without any permission, on Jewish land. Just stealing Jewish land and building on it, and the Israeli government doesn't do anything about it. So, this is the type of situation we're facing now in Israel. We have a traitor who is prime minister, and he is a traitor to the Jewish people. We have a freezing of Jewish building, and we have in a couple of weeks the Jew-hating Secretary of State John Kerry, whose father's name was Cohen, and therefore wants to destroy his own people. You know, all of these people who come, not all of them, but most people who come from these mixed backgrounds, where they're part Jewish and part non-Jewish, they're usually the worst enemies of the Jewish people. This is what intermarriage leads to. It leads to anti-Semitism. It leads to the children of these creatures who intermarry becoming vicious anti-Semites. And that's what John Kerry is. I mean, he's an obsessive, vicious anti-Semite who is doing everything he can to undermine Israel. And to show you how serious this is, Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman, whom the anti-Semitic news media of Israel, and the news media in Israel are Jewish anti-Semites, the anti-Semitic news media in Israel and the anti-Semitic American and Western news media call him an extreme right-winger. He's on the far right. I mean, it's the ultimate example. The ultimate example of how Orwellian, of how insane we allow this world to become. When evil people define things, these evil media Jew haters are defining someone. He's on the extreme right. He wants Israel to give up Jerusalem, her own capital. He wants Israel to give up even parts of pre-1967 Israel. He said, in fact, he said just today while we're doing this program, he said Israel must give up even parts of pre-1967 Israel, and he's already ready to accept John Kerry's evil, suicidal plan. I mean, that's extreme, right? He's a complete self-hating, vile, corrupt traitor. And he's the foreign minister of Israel, Avigdor Lieberman, Shem Reshaim Yirkav. Now, I ask you this question, with this terrible situation developing, very dangerous situation developing, where Israel conceivably could agree to this lunacy. I ask you this question. Isn't this exactly what JTF warned about? When there was a presidential election between Barack Hussein Obama and Mitt Romney, didn't we tell you that there are two issues on which Barack Hussein Obama will be an unmitigated disaster, a horrific catastrophe for the Jewish people and for Israel, a threat to Israel's very survival and to the very survival of the Jewish people? There are two issues on which he would work in a destructive way. We warned you that on these two issues, he would threaten the survival of Israel and the Jewish people, would be a mortal threat to our survival. And what were the two issues that we mentioned over and over again when we were telling people about how dangerous it is to re-elect Barack Hussein Obama? The two issues were Iran and the nuclear bomb-making program there. And we see what Barack Hussein Obama is doing there. He and John Kerry are enabling Iran to build nuclear bombs. And they're removing the sanctions while the Iranians are building nuclear bombs. And we warned that that would take place. And we said at the same time that Obama would push relentlessly, and Obama administration would push relentlessly, obsessively, for Israel to retreat to the pre-1967 suicidal borders and create a so-called Palestine state. Even though there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, all of it is a lie. We warned that this is exactly what would happen. Things are playing out exactly as we said. We were right, and everyone else was wrong. That's a fact. And I have to say that. I have to say that. Because I want our fellow JTFers to know that we were right. Everything we warned about is coming true. We were right. And there are no other voices of sanity in the Jewish community that are truly warning the Jewish people. You have some Jewish groups on the fringes who tell some of the truth. But if you want all of the truth and warnings about what really is going to come down, JTF is the group, the sole group that does this. The sole group in America and in Israel. That's a fact. No one in America or in Israel really called Obama the Jew, a Jew hater, a Muslim, and someone who would work to destroy Israel obsessively when it comes to the issue of Iran and when it comes to creating a so-called Palestine state and getting Israel to go back to the pre-67 borders. No one was exposing that the way we were. No one was telling it like it is the way we do. No one. Not in America, not in Israel. We were proven right. You see before your very eyes, everything we said is coming true. God should have mercy on the Jewish people and should save the Jewish people from this lunacy. God willing, I hope this some miracle and God saves us. In the past, God saved us by getting the Arabs to reject these proposals, which was a miracle because it was the stupidest thing the Arabs could do. If they had agreed to this, Israel would be committing national suicide. But the Arabs, in complete acts of lunacy, said no. They wanted even more. There was really almost nothing more to give. But they demanded more and more and more. That is what saved Israel in the past from these types of agreements. It is not at all certain that that's going to happen this time. We don't know what's going to happen this time. I hope God, again, hardens the heart of the Arab Muslim Nazis and saves Israel. But if that doesn't happen, and if there's not Jewish resistance to this, we're in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. There's a real danger of a Holocaust here, God forbid. We're in a lot of trouble. And by the way, as bad as Mitt Romney is, and he's a weak, cowardly, wimpy, sellout establishment Republican, but he would not have been obsessively pressuring Israel. Not on Iran, and not to create a so-called Palestine state. Romney would not have been pursuing these policies on the issue of Israel and Israel's survival and Jewish survival. Romney would have been much less of a problem. He wouldn't have been the Mashiach. He wouldn't have been the Messiah. But he would have been much better on these issues. No comparison. And so this really demonstrates why it's so important to support and help JTF and why JTF has to become a major force in the world. We have to. Because there's a complete vacuum. Nobody is telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. On Jewish issues, certainly not. And the Jewish issues are the issues that will decide the destiny of the world. Just read the Bible and you'll see. God decides what will happen in the world based on what happens to his people in Israel. No one tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth except for JTF on Jewish issues. That's a fact. And that's why it's so urgently important. Look at the terrible dangers we're facing. Look at the terrible consequences. If only we had been stronger. If only we had had more support. If only we had been bigger and more influential. Think of what we could have done. Think of how many more Jews would be living in Judea and Samaria. How impossible it would be for someone like Kerry to push an evil plan like this. Anyway, I think our fellow JTFers understand the urgency and understand why it's so important that you support us, especially in this emergency situation where, again, the knife is at Israel's throat. Absolutely urgent. And so, every one of our fellow JTFers, I appeal to you, help us. Don't sit on your behinds and don't be lazy and don't be apathetic, because that would be a sin. We've got to work hard now and do what we have to do what must be done. Because we are really in a very dangerous period. When we put up English and Hebrew videos, help promote those videos on Facebook and on YouTube. Like, comment, favorite, share, and mirror those videos. It doesn't take a very long time. When you see us put up those videos, it doesn't take a long time to do that. Help us. Help us become bigger and help us bring the truth to the world. This is what you were born for. This is what we were put into this world for. Not to be silent. Not to watch injustice and not do anything about it. Help us. A lot of our JTF members don't like, favorite, comment, share and mirror when we put up videos. And there's no reason. There's no excuse not to. It only takes a few minutes. In addition to that, help us on our forums and our Facebook pages. When you post good posts or open good threads, that will attract new people to our movement. That's very important. And most importantly, if you don't have time to do any of the other things, most importantly, help us financially. Help us like your life and the life of the people you care about and love depend upon it. Because it really does. The lives of the people you care about really do depend upon our ability to bring the truth to the world and prevent these catastrophes. Every check, every money order, every cash donation sent to our post office box makes a big difference. You can send checks, money orders, cash donations. It makes a big difference. God bless the great JTFers who are doing it. But we need more help. We need, now more than ever, we need help. And I've said this last week, I want to say again, there are a couple of JTFers who help us more than they can afford to help us. That I don't want. If you can't afford to send us sizable checks, don't send us sizable checks if you can't afford it. But if you can afford it, and there are a couple of JTFers who do that, I appreciate what you're doing, but please don't do that. I do not want money from people who can't afford to send us their support. However, that's not true for 99% of our members. 99% of our members can afford to send us support, and in most cases can afford to send us more than they've been sending. So help us. This is an urgent time. Help us. And if you want to do it more conveniently, if you don't want to have to put a check in an envelope or a money order in an envelope, if you don't want to do that, if you want to do it more conveniently, then of course you can do it online with your credit card by just clicking on the donate button. It'll take a couple of minutes and it's very convenient and secure. You could find the donate button on the top of our homepages, of our English homepage and our Hebrew homepage. This is a critical time. This is a time when none of us can afford to be silent. None of us are allowed to be silent. Everybody must do what must be done now. This is a time when we have to speak and we have to act. And so again, I urge JTFers to get involved. Do not sit back and watch this in silence. If we act, and if we do what we're supposed to do, and if we say our prayers and do other things that we're supposed to be doing, maybe God will have mercy on the Jewish people and the world. Sometimes God saves the many for the sake of the few. Maybe, I don't know. But we have to do everything we can, and we have to try as hard as we can to influence the situation and to give JTF a voice that will make a difference so that we can make this a better world and so that everybody will hear our warnings, which have come true again and again. Okay, now let's move on to our questions from our great JTFers. And we start with the great Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, please express your thoughts on these five celebrities. Justin Timberlake. Well, this is a drug-using Hollywood swine, and when I say drug-using, it's because, you know, he's admitted that he uses marijuana, and you know, this is a guy who pops pills and smokes dope, and basically, to look cool, he basically encourages other people to do it. He basically is encouraging the public to do it because he says it, he makes it seem like it's a cool thing to use drugs. In addition to that, he's the ex-boyfriend of the slut Britney Spears, who's one of the most vile, disgusting people who encourages all the decadence and degeneracy of Hollywood. So Justin Timberlake is a degenerate. And the other person that the Wandering Samurai wants comment on is Usher. Ugh, Yamashmo v'zichro. He calls himself Usher the Fourth, and his son is Usher the Fifth. You know, Yosef Ben Meir used to say when they have the First, the Fourth, the Fifth, like James Baker the Fourth, Yosef Ben Meir, the late and great Yosef Ben Meir used to say, I hope he's the last. Usher is a completely untalented black invention of evil Hollywood. He has no talent. He has no morals. He's a money-grubbing, evil, disgusting, egotistical piece of subhuman garbage. And now the Olsen twins. I don't know much about the Olsen twins, but they're part of Hollywood decadence. I know they had a TV show. I never watched a TV show, so I don't know enough about them, but people who are involved in Hollywood, involved in TV shows, usually are also decadent. Again, I don't know enough about them, but I know they're part of Hollywood. That's certainly not good. And now, Kristen Stewart. I don't know much about her either, but she's a so-called film star in Hollywood, so that's got to be bad. That has to be bad. And Vanessa Hutchins. I don't know much about her, but I know she had a relationship with Zac Efron, who had a Jewish grandfather. And he's another one. He's an atheist. He's an agnostic. He had a Jewish grandfather. These are just more of the Hollywood sewage. They promote sewage. They promote immorality. They promote the Hollywood empty, useless, plastic, artificial lifestyle that has led to the downfall of America. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And now we go to our friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, can you promote my YouTube videos? My YouTube account is Bobcat Joe Gutfeld. I do movie reviews. Thanks, unquote. Joe, I personally don't have time to see the videos and to promote the videos. I'm busy up to my neck with an emergency situation in regard to the survival of Israel. And I don't know what your movie reviews say. I'm against the Hollywood movies. The movies that come out of Hollywood now are all garbage and filth. Almost all of them are garbage. So my reviews would be almost universally negative. I don't know what you say about them, and I'm sorry, but I don't have time to promote your videos. But in any event, Joe, I thank you at least for being active on the forum. And now we go to the great Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, we only be 1 month from my favorite month of the year, unquote. Okay, so we're a month away from the Black History Month, which, as the great Yosef Ben Meir, Zichrono Livracha, always used to say, a second would be enough. It could be Black History second. That would be enough to cover Black History. I mean, how much can you say about people living in the jungles of Africa? And now Lewinsky Stinks writes, and I quote, please discuss Pope, quote-unquote, Bergoglio, Yamashmo Vezichro, do you think he may be Gog Chaim, unquote. Well, you know, his pronouncements attacking free market economies, basically promoting socialism, promoting what's called liberation theology, are horrific. Horrific. And he's even trying to water down the church's past opposition to homosexuality and abortion. He said we should stop speaking about these issues that offend people, like the right to life and homosexuality. Let's not concentrate on that. Let's speak more about inequality and economic inequality and the need to uplift people with government programs. I mean, that's basically what he's saying. In other words, he's giving us the same message that Bill de Blasio and Barack Hussein Obama and the left-wing Democrats are giving us and the socialists in Europe are giving us. You know, it's a horrific message. And now today he announced that he's going in May to the Middle East to promote so-called peace. In other words, again, we see the Vatican, again, interfering in Israel's affairs. The Vatican has no right to tell Israel anything. The Catholic Church murdered millions of Jews and tortured the Jewish people for 2,000 years. They have no right to tell Israel or the Jewish people anything after what they did to the Jewish people. Popes ordered crusades against Jews, in which crusaders took out swords. And with their swords, they tore into the bellies of pregnant Jewish women and tore the babies out of their bellies and raped hundreds of thousands of Jewish women in Europe. These were crusades where they raided every Jewish community and every Jewish ghetto and murdered and raped and tortured innocent Jewish men, women, and children. Crusaders even wrote about the fact that they had blood up to their knees. Jewish blood up to their knees. They spilled so much Jewish blood. They murdered hundreds of thousands of Jews, raped hundreds of thousands of Jewish women. And these were crusades that were ordered by the Vatican. And the Inquisition was ordered by the Vatican, where Jews were put on the stake and burned alive if they refused to convert to Catholicism. That is a matter of history. Jews were tortured in the most brutal way, demanding that they convert to Catholicism. And by the way, thousands of Jews gave their lives refusing. So for the Vatican to lecture Israel, and for this Pope to tell Israel to commit national suicide, is the ultimate example of chutzpah. Now, is he Gog? No, I don't think he's Gog, because Gog is going to be the leader of a nation, political leader of a nation. He's going to be the leader of the world's last remaining superpower, and he's going to organize the whole world to gang up on Israel. That's what Gog and Magog, that's what the vision in the Bible of Gog and Magog is. Where you have this leader of a superpower, and he convinces the whole world. He convinces the Muslims, the Christians, everybody to unite against Israel. And by the way, of course, there are going to be righteous Gentiles in all nations. There are going to be righteous Gentiles who are going to refuse, who are going to say this is wrong and are going to be against this. But the nations of the world, the leaders of the world, are going to unite against Israel, and that's going to be the war of Gog and Magog. And God is going to intervene on the side of Israel, it says. God will miraculously intervene on the side of Israel. So Gog could be eventually a leader of the United States, if the United States is still a superpower when this takes place. I don't know. By the way, we don't know when this is going to take place. It could take place in the next 10 years. It could take place in the next 100 years. It could take place in the next 300 years. We have no. I'm not a prophet, so I don't know when it's going to take place. But I do know that if it says this is going to happen in the Bible, it's going to happen. And I don't know if the United States will be the leading country that will be pushing this. Or if the new leader, maybe a new country will emerge. Maybe the United States will fall apart by then and collapse. Because, you know, America voted twice for Barack Hussein Obama. They voted for a Muslim as president. God doesn't like when things like that are done. God does not like the fact that America voted twice for a Muslim Jew hater as president of the United States. That does not bode well for America's future. So who knows if the United States will even survive. But Gog will be the leader either of the United States or of China or of some other country that will rise and that will become the leading nation of the world and get the whole world to gang up on Israel. That's what the vision of Gog and Magog is. That's what the prophecy of Gog and Magog is. Of course, the United States, the one thing that would save the United States, in my opinion, at least for a while, would be if someone like Ted Cruz were elected president in 2016, which is something we support and something we want to see happen. Although, let's be honest, Ted Cruz has an uphill battle. The odds are against him. We support him, and I think that could make a difference, but I think the odds are against him. Anyway, thank you very much, Lewinsky Stinks. And now we go to, and by the way, the Pope, the reason the Pope I don't think would be Gog is because the Pope is a religious leader. He's not the leader of the world's last remaining superpower, political leader of the world's last remaining superpower. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And now we go to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, one, your thoughts on the Muslim Nazi bombings of Russian Nazis, unquote. Well, the Russian Nazis are getting a taste of their own medicine. They're building Iran's nuclear bomb-making program and helping Iran build nuclear bombs. And the Muslims that they're helping so much are bombing them. So they're getting a taste of their own medicine. Are they going to listen to the warning? Are they going to get the message? I doubt it. But this is a taste of their own. They're getting a taste of their own medicine. And now Dr. Dan is writing, too, your thoughts on de Blasio not scaling back on stop and frisk, unquote. Dr. Dan, I think it's much too early to say what he's going to be doing with stop and frisk. We don't know what de Blasio's policies are going to be. I assume he doesn't want the crime rate to go back to the terrible levels of the 1970s and 1980s, because if that happens, he's going to be judged to be a disastrous failure. De Blasio wants to be president of the United States. Not in 2016, but eventually he wants to be president. So he has to succeed in New York City to do that. But I don't know what this Marxist mayor is going to be doing. I don't know what he's going to be doing on stop and frisk. I think it's too early. His policies are left-wing, destructive policies that are not good for New York City, that are not good for any place. So I don't know yet what he's going to be doing. Let's see. Let's wait and see what he plans to do. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And now we go to our great friend Benjamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, "Do Vietnam and Cambodia still pose a threat, or are they irrelevant nowadays?" Unquote. Well, they're a lot less relevant because the United States is not bogged down in a war in Southeast Asia. Vietnam actually could eventually go to war with China. There have been border disputes and other disputes, and they have a very tense relationship actually with China. I wouldn't say they're totally irrelevant, but I don't think that they pose, I don't think they pose a mortal threat right now, but I wouldn't say they're totally irrelevant. You know, what people do in one part of the world can affect what happens in other parts of the world. It does. It has an impact. And now Benjamin writes, and I quote, "Who was the lesser of the evils among Democrat presidents in the 1900s? Unquote. Oh, I think all of the Democrat presidents in the 1900s were very evil. Very evil. Woodrow Wilson didn't do any harm to the Jewish people because he didn't have a chance yet. It was way before the creation of a Jewish state, so he didn't really have a chance to do any harm, but his policies in America were terrible. The League of Nations was the precursor to the UN, which we know what a terrible institution that is. And his policies were not good policies. Who is the lesser of the evils? I really think that they were all terrible. All the Democrat presidents were terrible. Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Harry Truman. Harry Truman tried to destroy Israel, even though Jews say, oh, he recognized Israel. Big deal. Big deal. He tried to pressure Israel he tried to pressure the Jews not to declare a Jewish state, to give up on the idea of a Jewish state. He and the Jew-hating Secretary of State Marshall, Yimach Shmam V'Zichram, pressured Israel not to declare a Jewish state. As far as, and by the way, their policies in America, FDR and Truman, they instituted so much of the big government socialist programming that we now have. Their policies were terrible, terrible policies. The country would be much better off without all of these big government socialist programs. And then the other presidents after them, John F. Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson and certainly Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton, were terrible. I mean, disastrous presidents with disastrous consequences for the country. So it's very hard for me to choose because I think they were all so evil and so terrible. I don't want to say lesser of the evils because I don't want to give them that compliment. They don't deserve it. Thank you, Benjamin. And now we go to the great Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, "Please give Yimach Shmo to Obama-supporting, pot-smoking, disobeying Ronald Reagan daughter Patty Davis, who also posed for Playboy. Why in the world are Reagan children such disgraceful leftist pigs?" Unquote. Well, she is certainly an evil animal, and she supports Barack Hussein Obama, and you know, her posing for Playboy and all the other things she's done are really a disgrace. Really a disgrace. I agree with you completely. Why are the Reagan children disgusting leftist pigs? Because they were raised in Hollywood. Even though their father, Ronald Reagan, became a conservative, relatively speaking. He wasn't conservative enough for JTF standards, but relatively speaking, he became conservative. Nevertheless, he raised his children in Hollywood, in the L.A. suburbs, in that whole atmosphere, which is very, very degenerate, and it leads to things like this, to drug use and decadence and sexual decadence, and it leads to these things and political correctness. The one Reagan child who turned out pretty good was Michael Reagan, who was adopted. Michael Reagan actually was adopted, and he actually is pretty good. He's actually not a bad guy. He turned out pretty good. Why some of the others turned out to be such leftists? They have free will. And they lived in an environment which was predominantly left-wing and decadent. And now Smash Islam writes, and I quote, "P.S. on Miley virus video, Trevor Bailey wrote, and I quote, 'Oh my God, and people say the Muslims are extremists, lol.'" Unquote. Yeah, well, So this person is saying that we're extremists because we're exposing Miley Virus and we're exposing how evil she is. So she's saying that makes us extremists because we're against her degeneracy and her filth and her amoral human sewage that she's spreading in American culture and society to downgrade America and turn America into Sodom and Gomorrah. So that makes us extremists. But the Muslims are not. This person is saying, but this person's mocking those who say that Muslims are extremists, is saying the Muslims are really not extremists. The Muslims are really good guys and we're bad guys. Well, this person who wrote this should burn in hell together with Mohammed. Thank you, Smash Islam. And now we go to the great Kalman ben Menachem, who writes, and I quote, Reb Chaim, what is the Israeli government's stated reason for preventing Noam Federman from taking the bar exam? Any hope of his ever doing so? Thank you, unquote. Oh, they claim that he was convicted of so-called offenses. What were his offenses? That he dared, to say that Jews should resist with civil disobedience. That's all he said, was Jews should resist with civil disobedience the expulsion of Jews in Gush Katif and in other places where the evil, traitorous Israeli government has expelled Jews. That's the great crime that he committed. That's a crime in Israel. You're not allowed to say that Jews should be patriotic and should support the land of Israel and should do what the Torah commands us to do. You're not allowed to do that. That's against the law in Israel. So they don't want him to take the bar exam. Now, it shows, I mean, it just shows the complete Bolshevik control of Israeli society. Is there any hope of his ever doing so? Well, if we ever get strong enough and powerful enough, then there's hope. Thank you, Kalman ben Menachem. And now we go to the great Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, artists receive inspiration for their works of art from God. Why are many of them front runners in regards of decadent lifestyle, unquote? Well, actually, Da Vinci, a lot of artists don't receive their inspiration from God. I mean, that's just a saying that people have. When someone does evil, they're not inspired by God to do evil. Their inspiration is coming from their own ego and their own evil inclinations. These artists who are evil and who are decadent are, generally speaking, so egotistical, so megalomaniacal, that they want to be rebellious against religion and against truth and against holiness and God, and they want to do as much evil as they can do just to show what an impact they can make on the world. And just, this is something that is very prevalent in the art, in the so-called art world and in the world of acting and all of the so-called artistic pursuits, music, the music world. But that's not inspiration. They're not being inspired by God to do this. God forbid. God does not inspire people to do evil. They're doing this out of their own free will, as a result of their own ego. Thank you, Da Vinci. And now we go to a new member, Jim Draper, and we welcome you, Jim Draper, to the JTF forum. Welcome. Jim writes, and I quote, Rabbi Meir Kahana had a heart and spirit like that of a King David, as did his son. Is there today a Kahana champion for Israel, unquote? Yes, Jim, yes. Our movement in Israel. Our movement is the Kahanist movement, and we will do the same thing. We will carry out the same program Rabbi Kahana and his son wanted to carry out for Israel. Absolutely. Our Hebrew movement in Israel. And you get me into Israel, and we will carry out a Kahanist program for Israel, God willing. And of course, we're going to obey the law, even though the law is unjust in Israel. There is an unjust law in Israel that says you this limit on what you can say, and a limit on you know, they put limitations on what you can say in a very anti-democratic, hypocritical, and duplicitous way with a double standard. But we will, within the framework of Israeli law, we will implement the program that would be in the spirit of King David. Thank you very much, Jim Draper. And now we go to our great friend Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, I found the synagogue to possibly join Young Israel. Only problem is it's two bus rides away. Would it be okay to travel or ride on Shabbos, unquote? Chicago Jew, no. No. What you could do is see if anyone in the synagogue is willing to let you stay over for Shabbat. let you stay over their house for Shabbat. That's not a permanent solution. Obviously, they're not going to let you stay over every Shabbat, but they may let you spend a Shabbat or two at their home. They may, a lot of the young Israels, they have people who are willing to do that. See if somebody is willing to let you stay over. If not, then start going to the synagogue on weekdays. You could start going on weekdays if they have services, if they have events. You could start going. Or on weeknights if you come home from work. Or if you get out of work. This is one of, Chicago Jew, this is why religious Jews live near synagogues. When they buy their home or when they locate, they make sure to locate near a synagogue. Are you sure, by the way? I think you should check to make sure. Are you sure there's no Chabad house near you? Because there are a lot of Chabad houses all over the place. Now, find out if there's a Chabad house or check if there's some other synagogue closer to you. If there isn't, then, you know, what can I say? You have to live closer to a synagogue if you want to go to synagogue on Shabbat. But in the meantime, there may be someone in the Young Israel who's willing to let you stay over their home for Shabbat. And if they do that, that would be a very good experience for you. That would be a good experience. Tell them, I'm brand new at this. I don't know the rules and I don't know anything about this. I'm brand new, but I'd like to experience a Shabbat. You know, so maybe someone will let you stay in their home. Maybe someone from the synagogue. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And now we go to, Russian Leo 777 who writes, and I quote, what is your opinion of Waleed Shubat? Have you read his book, Case for Islamophobia, Jihad by the Word, America's Final Warning, unquote? No, I've seen a couple of his videos, and they seemed, you know, he says, some of the things he says are good, and he seems to be saying the good thing, but he seems to be saying a lot of truthful things about Islam, but I don't know enough about him, Russian Leo. I don't know enough. I can't make a judgment because I just don't know enough about him. Just seeing a couple of short videos that somebody does is not enough for me to make a judgment about whether or not a person represents something that's positive or negative. I can't say that for sure just by seeing a couple of videos. Thank you, Russian Leo. And now we go to the great LKZ, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, Kaddish for Menachem Stark. Menachem Stark, that's the Hasidic guy that was kidnapped and murdered. Okay, I don't know enough about him. I don't know enough about him. I mean, I've seen all types of things about him, so I'm not going to say one way or the other. I have no idea who he was or what he was doing or what his background was. So I'm just going to leave it at that, LKZ. I have reasons for saying that I don't want to say one way or the other because I just don't know enough to make a judgment now. LKZ now writes, how long before you should move money out of the U.S.? Unquote. That's a good question. I don't know. Unfortunately, I'm not a prophet, but I do believe eventually, if we continue with these policies, that eventually it will lead to economic catastrophe. I think that eventually will happen. Will it happen the next couple of years? Will it happen the next couple of decades? I have no idea. I don't know, LKZ. I honestly don't know. And a lot of it depends on who's elected president also in 2016, even though we could have a big economic downturn before then. But if not, then in 2016, whoever's elected president, that will have a big impact. LKZ now writes, and I quote, what are the social causes we fight for and our principles, unquote? Great question. We are fighting to make this a world based upon what God wants us to do in this world. That's God's commandments for the Jews and for the righteous Gentiles. We want a world in which there is respect for human dignity and human freedom, of course, and a world in which people believe in morality and decency and live by the laws, by the basic laws that God intended for us to live by. I know that sounds very broad and general, but it is broad in general. If there's something more specific, if there's a more specific issue, I'll comment on something more specific. But in general, that's what we stand for. Our positions are based upon biblical principles. And although, as religious Jews, we don't want to impose our religion on other people, and we don't seek to convert other people, Nevertheless, we do urge people to live by the basic principles of the Bible and the basic principles that God wants us to live by. Thank you, LKZ. I hope that wasn't too generalized an answer. And now we go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "What does it mean to be a light unto the nations?" Unquote. Well, this is almost a continuation of the question of LKZ. A light unto the nations means that we teach the nations that there is a God, there is a Creator. We make them aware of the fact that there is a Creator. We sanctify God's name by building a special nation in Israel, showing that when Jews do live by the laws of the Torah, that they can be a holy nation and a nation of priests, a light unto the nations. And that means that we create a society in Israel where Jews love their fellow Jews, where Jews believe in God and follow the commandments of the Torah, where Jews have big families and communities and work together and prosper together and fight together and learn together. Where you see Jews excel, as we know that Jews are quite capable of doing, but don't use their brilliance to create decadent things like Hollywood or Facebook or big businesses or Google or other big business enterprises that are evil. Jews use their God-given talents to do good for the world, to fight for justice and righteousness and truth, and to stand up, even when it's politically incorrect, for what's right and true. That's what a light unto the nations is. In other words, to be a moral voice, to be a moral light against the darkness of evil that rules most of the world. Never to be silent and always to stand up for what's right and what's true. That's a light unto the nations. And that's what the Jewish people are destined to become. And now Tag Mechir writes, "Should Jews teach or somewhat proselytize Torah to the seven nations, seven mitzvot b'nei Noach?" Unquote. Yes. I don't think we should do it on our forum because the purpose of our forum and our movement is to create a Jewish state and a political movement that will protect Israel and protect the Jewish state and the Jewish people in their homeland, and also will save America for the righteous Gentiles. Our movement is basically fighting for political and physical survival with principles and with basic principles, of course, and with moral principles and a moral guide. But in terms of proselytizing, that's not the function of our movement, is not to proselytize among the Gentiles and to urge them to accept something that goes contrary to their religious beliefs. That's not the purpose of our movement, because our movement is to unite people against this emergency threat that we face from Islam and also from New World Order people in the news media and Hollywood and in multinational corporations that run Western economies and Western governments, and that are destroying all morality and decency, not only in the Western world, but also within Israel itself. We want to resist that. We want to fight against that. We want to prevail against that. So we have an emergency battle for survival. That's what our movement is about right now. So on our English forum, we don't want to be proselytized. We don't want to proselytize on our English forum, but outside the framework of our forum, should Jews in general be explaining to Gentile nations what these seven mitzvot, the seven commandments of B'nai Noach are? In other words, what God in the Torah, in the Bible, commands the Gentiles to follow? And by the way, the seven mitzvot, the seven commandments that they're required to follow are the minimum. They should actually follow more than seven. The seven are the bare minimum. That's just civilized behavior. Those are the seven minimum commandments that they have to follow. They should actually follow more than that eventually. Are we required, should Jews go around and explain that and offer that option? Yes, I think they should. I think they should. But we don't want to create conflicts on our forum, because our forum has a different mission. Our forum's mission is the survival of Israel in America against forces that are destroying Israel in America. That's the the function of our forum. So on our forum, we don't want to get into religious disputes and religious arguments. But is there a need for Jews to go out and explain the mitzvot of the Torah and what Gentiles are required to do according to the Torah? Yes. It would be very positive, yes. And now Tag Mechir writes, and I quote, Perush HaMakabi. Okay, Perush HaMakabi is the great book of Moreinu V'Rabbeinu, our leader and our teacher and our rabbi, Harav Meir Kahana Zatzal. In Perush HaMakabi, Rabbi Kahana writes about the so-called alliance between the 10 tribes of Israel and Ashur. Ashur is Assyria. And you see this in the Bible, you see this written about in the Bible, and of course there's a lot written about it as well in our oral Torah. You had two nations in ancient Israel. After Shlomo HaMelech, after King Solomon, the Jewish people split in two. You had the 10 tribes of Israel that created the nation Israel, Yisrael, and then you had Yehudah, Judah, which was basically comprised of the tribe of Judah, and most of Benjamin, most of Binyamin. So there were two nations. There was Israel and there was Yehudah. Yisrael and Yehudah. The 10 tribes of Israel formed an alliance with Ashur. Ashur is Assyria. And they trusted Assyria. And they believed in Ashur. Ashur was a superpower in those days. And Ashur was going to protect them from the other superpowers. And instead of trusting in God, they trusted in Ashur. And they adopted the cultural customs of Ashur, and they adopted the idolatry, the Avodah Zarah of Ashur. Well, in the end, what did Ashur, their great ally, do to them? Ashur betrayed them. Ashur stabbed them in the back. Ashur conquered Israel. Ashur sent in their army to conquer Israel. And they exiled the 10 tribes of Israel. They threw them out of their homeland and destroyed the country. And the 10 tribes of Israel never recovered from that destruction. That was the exile of the 10 tribes. They never recovered from that. And so the so-called ally, Dafka, the so-called ally, destroyed the country. Not their enemies, but their so-called friend. Because instead of relying on God and being independent, which is what the Jews are supposed to do, instead of believing in, lo, this is a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations, instead of doing that, they relied on a so-called ally. Instead of Am Levadad Yishkon, Uvagoyim Lo Yitchashev, which is a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations. So this is what trusting so-called allies leads to. And the same thing is true with Israel today and the United States. You know, Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim, the actions of the fathers and what happened with the fathers is a sign for the children. What happened in ancient times is a sign for us in modern times. We see the state of Israel and the Netanyahu regime doing the same thing now with Obama and the Obama administration, trusting Obama on Iran and trusting Obama and giving in to Obama and John Kerry. We see the same behavior. As the great Jewess Shifra Hoffman, who was a longtime Kahanist, as this great woman Shifra Hoffman often said, allies, the word allies should really read for Jews, all lies. Allies should be all lies, because it's all lies. The nation that endangers, who endangers Israel's survival more than anyone right now? Barack Hussein Obama and the Obama administration. Obama and Kerry, they're pressuring Israel to do things that are suicidal. They're endangering Israel more than Israel's worst avowed enemies. And yet Israel continues to want to be dependent upon the United States and rely on the United States. And I'm not, again, I don't want to attack the United States as a nation. There are good people still in the United States. There are righteous good people still in the United States. But the leaders of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama and John Kerry, are evil and are anti-Semites and are trying to destroy Israel. And yet Israel relies on them, leans on them, and depends on them. And God forbid that could lead to our downfall. That's what Rabbi Kahana wrote about in Perush HaMakabi. That's one of the things that he wrote about. He wrote about Ashur and the 10 tribes the 10 tribes of Yisrael, of ancient Yisrael, and what it led to, the terrible, tragic exile and suffering that it led to, because they believed in and trusted the nations of the world who were betraying them. Thank you, Tag Mechir. And now we go to, and so the moral of the story is Israel must become militarily, economically, politically independent. Completely independent. And God has given us the means to do that if only we had the will. Thank you, Tag Mechir. And now we go to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, "Please share your thoughts about another organization, the American Zionist Movement, AZM. Oh, EB, that is the worst of the worst. That's the establishment. They're not Zionist in any way. That's all a lie. They're the worst. They're full of extreme left-wing self-hating traitors. You have the Deform movement in there, Meretz, the socialists, the Marxists. They're all part of that movement. They dominate that movement, by the way. And then you have the cowardly Orthodox traitors who are also part of the establishment. You'll always have cowardly Orthodox traitors. And that includes the Young Israel movement and the Orthodox Union and all these other groups. They'll always join in with the conservative and the reformed and the reconstructionist. In other words, the conserved, the deformed, and the reconstructed. They'll join in with all the leftists and be part of one big happy family of Jewish establishment traitors. That's what the American so-called Zionist movement is. They have in their movement, they are dominated by supporters of Israeli national suicide. They supporters of a PLO terrorist state, which is Israeli national suicide. These are people they have in their movement, leaders of their movement, who are intermarried, completely assimilated, who support so-called gay rights and gay so-called rabbis and lesbian rabbis. I mean, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Zionism means the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel to fulfill the commandments of the Bible and of God. To take that word and misuse it the way they do is a crime and a travesty. Thank you, E.B. And now we go to our great friend Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, should Israel change its official name from the State of Israel to something else so people stop calling Israel the 51st U.S. state?" Unquote. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. You know, they were when they were going to declare a Jewish state, they considered calling it the State of Israel. They considered calling it the State of Judah, Yehuda, because we had the State of Judah, we had Yehuda in ancient times, and we had Yisrael, we had Israel, we had both. In the end, they decided against calling it Yehuda. Why? Because the Jews in America and in other countries complained and said, then they're going to accuse us of dual loyalty. I mean, just, you know, the typical self-hating, cowardly, ghetto-like reaction of Jews, always afraid of being proud to stand for principles and stand up for what they believe in, always afraid, always bending over backwards to their enemies, which, by the way, only creates more hatred and more pressure and more problems for the Jewish people every time. When you give in to pressure, it invites more pressure. When you give in to blackmail, it invites more blackmail. But this unfortunately has been the Jewish behavior. And until we have a Kahanist movement that becomes a mass movement, until JTF becomes a mass movement, and I don't know when that's going to happen. I have no idea when that's going to happen. Could take a short time, could take a long time. It depends on if we catch a break. But until that happens, this is going to continue. This disgrace is going to continue. This Chilul Hashem is going to continue. And the only way Israel won't be called the 51st state is when Israel stops accepting U.S. foreign aid and becomes independent, truly independent. Thank you, Maimonides. And I want to thank everybody for another show that I very much enjoyed doing. Until next week, Shalom.